Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at pvclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
I continue in our series, Position Yourself for Greatness, honoring the I wills, meaning I will do this, I will attempt this, I will try this, I'll make this work. Positioning yourself, not others, yourself. And so today's is guard integrity and honor your word. Honor my word. I'm going to honor my word. Guard integrity. Folks, I put the title, Honor My Word, because you need to honor your word. We each need to honor our word. Sometimes we say, they should, but we're not introspectively saying, we should, I should. And it's not easy. It's not always easy to keep your word. When we're living honorably, it requires that we keep our word at all costs. And sometimes the cost is quite a bit. But if keeping your word is too difficult, then watch your words before you make the assumption or make the promises that are outside of your ability to keep. Are you with me? See, some people like to make promises but have no intention of keeping it. They make rash promises. In fact, some people make rash statements and rash judgments and rash declarations. And this message is to remind us today not to do that. It is not wise to do that. When we make rash words and rash statements and rash promises, we don't honor God. We don't honor God's truth. And truth is found only in God in Christ. There is no relative truth. Truth is absolute in Christ in God. So we are always striving to live in the truth. And in so doing, we must measure our statements carefully before proclaiming a thing. Temper what you say so you can keep your words at all times. Stop for a moment, pause, think, reflect, and then speak so that you can reflect on what you're doing. There are people who even quit their job rashly in the heat of a moment. That's it, I'm done. And perhaps the boss is going, oh, hallelujah. I'll use a few examples today to demonstrate both the cost of keeping your word and also the power of it. There's a cost, but there's a power. Truth is in Christ Jesus, and he paid a cost, but he released a power. So honor your word because your word is your bond. And your word or your bond is what demonstrates your integrity. Folks, your word is your bond, and your bond demonstrates your integrity. You cannot say, I'm a person of integrity, and you don't keep your word. Have you ever noticed, I'm a person of integrity, I have high integrity. And you're going, could you just keep your word? Because you don't need to tell me what you are, just show me. Integrity is not what you tell people about yourself, it is primarily what people observe about you. It's in your consistency. Therefore, when you break your word, you compromise or you lose integrity altogether. Here's what Hebrews 13, verse 18 says. Pray for us, for our conscience is clear, and we want to live honorably in everything we do. When we keep our word, we live honorably, and there are many difficulties to keeping it. Sometimes it may cost you more than you wish to bear, or more than you originally bargained for. Anyone ever stepped into something and, oh, then the ante got higher and higher and you're like, oh, I'm in over my head here. But nevertheless, we must keep our word. In previous decades and still today in some cultures, Christians would use no lawyers and no courts because back in the day, honesty existed amongst believers and also amongst communities. Then when you remember when honesty existed in communities and honesty existed amongst believers, where believers would keep their word at all costs? But today we do need lawyers. We do need courts because many who say they're Christ followers have defamed the name of Christ by the lack of integrity because they've not kept their word. Am I speaking to anyone today? It doesn't matter what we feel. Believers must respect their word above their losses. Believers in the past respected their word above their losses. Today's culture is like, if it's going to cost me anything, then I'll just change my mind. That is an ungodly premise. May I speak? It's a sinful nature. It's a sinful nature. We today must honor our word no matter what. And people, there's a lot of people who abuse the good-heartedness of others. Even Christians, some with evil intention, engage in agreements they have no intention of fulfilling. Be very careful. Some will even make don't do rash statements. Rash statements will not help us. In fact, some people will even threaten God. God, if you don't do this, I won't. Or God, I'll do this if. We don't make those statements. Don't bargain with God. That's also rash promises. And then you can't fulfill some of what we did. I'm going to keep reminding us today. Your word must be what? Your what? A bond. A bond is secure. A bond is unchangeable. Secularism thrives on only doing what's convenient and not what's right or beneficial for society. And we see that. We see it in politics. We see it in media. We see it everywhere. They'll just change anything, change a story, and it's going to keep getting worse. So people, again, we're going to keep talking about AI. When AI comes, people better know your character way before it hits your house. Hello? Oh, let me try my other word, Eller. People need to know your integrity before AI hits your house so that they'll say, no, she would never do that. She would never mean, he would not do, we're going to have to live it out loud because there's a computer that's going to simulate bad behavior. Unfortunately, folks, too many people change their mind and they don't keep their word because of the consequences. But as a child of Christ, we have to keep our word. We have to keep our word no matter what and stay true to it no matter what. Because if we don't, we're declaring that God is not enough and he's not able to help us. Jehovah Nissi is my banner. That means that when somebody wipes you out or things are, he will fight your battle. Stick to your word. Jehovah is your provider. When they steal from you, then watch how God will take care of you. How many people, you've had people rip you off and God has made it better. So you maintain your word. It's not easy, but use wisdom no matter what the cost. Let me share a couple of stories. I'm going to see how many I'll get through. I think my message is a bit too long today, so I'll drop a few. I'm going to share this one, Joshua 9, verse 1 to 23. This is a group of people called the Gibeonites. It was a country outside of Israel. Now, all the kings west of the Jordan heard about what had happened. And if you read the story, that God had wiped out the other enemies. So these kings combined their armies to fight against Joshua and Israel. And when the people of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho, so this is after the wall fell, and Ai, this is after they wiped out Ai, they resorted to deception to save themselves. There's a key word. Don't resort to deception to save yourself. They resorted to deception to save themselves. They sent ambassadors loading their donkeys, put on worn out patched clothes, ragged clothes, moldy bread. They arrived and they said, oh, we've been traveling a long distance. The story here is they live right next door. You can read the story later. And Joshua came together with the Israelite leaders and said, let's help them out. And then they found out they lied. They just lived next door and they did all this moldy bread, ragged clothes, and pretend they were traveling forever. And so in verse 22, Joshua called together the Gibeonites and says, why did you do this to us? Why did you say you live in a distant land when you live right here among us? May you be cursed, and from now on you'll always be servants of woodcutting and waterhouse. And that's a whole context I won't touch today, okay? We don't curse people now. We're under the blood. Jesus covers it all. Keep that curse all to yourself. Hold that curse. Come on, hold that curse. The people of Israel grumbled against their leaders because of the treaty. They were now grumbling against the leader, Joshua. And the leaders replied, "Since we have sworn an oath in the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel, we cannot touch them. This is what we'll do. We'll let them live, but we'll let them work." So here's what happened, folks. The Gibeonites deceived them. They resorted to deception to save themselves, something that many people will do. And Israel said, "We made an oath before God, we'll help them." So the Israelites came against Joshua. But Joshua said, "Listen now, let's be real. They deceived us, we fell for it, but we gave a word. We're going to stick to our word. God will take care of us and God will deal with them." That is what that curse meant, because you incur a curse upon yourself when you're deceptive. That is a spirit. That is a spirit of the Antichrist, deception. So when you deceive, you've already opened up yourself to be cursed by yourself, because this is how the principle of the word works. So we have no excuses for not thinking right, praying right, and discerning right. There are times if we stop and look at the situation, we will see what's wrong with it. Do you know what Israel did? They didn't check out the Gibeonites. They were so glad to have somebody enamoring them. "Oh, you guys so good. You won the battle. You won Ai. You brought down Jericho. We want to be with you. Could you help us?" And their ego caused them to make a rash promise that they never checked out. Sometimes if you just stop and look, you'll discern very quickly. What looks good ain't good. Hello? All that glitters, not gold. Not gold. And so, folks, we use wisdom before we make these things. So they grumbled. And sometimes when we put ourselves in the predicament, then we begin to grumble. "God, look what happened. I was trying to help." No, you were trying to elevate yourself. There's a pride and arrogance mingled with other things doesn't make it good. Hello? There are times we do things just so we want to position ourselves, we want to look better, and we get in deeper than we can handle and we blame God. It takes honesty to honor your word. And Romans 13:8 reminds us, "Owe nothing to no one except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you'll fulfill the requirements of the Lord." Stop competing with neighbors and just love them. You owe nothing to no one. There are sometimes we get ourselves so deep in debt trying to keep up with everyone else. And then we're like, "Oh, I'm going to do this and I promise that." And we're going over and above and we're blaming God for what wisdom can help us with. I'm speaking to the body of believers today. 2 Peter 2 verse 12 says, "Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors." Did you hear this? 1 Peter 2:12, "Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world." It's painful, but you need to suffer according to what is right. Don't allow yourself to slip into wrong things and say, "Well, they'll have to excuse me." No. No one has to excuse what is wrong or what is wrong behavior. We need to fix it and stop as children of God declaring that it's okay, God understands. How many of you heard somebody go, "Oh, God understands"? Have you ever heard that one? Oh, I got to tell you another quick one. You ready? Online, forgive me, but if this gentleman ever listens in, I told him to come visit. So I popped into a restaurant. I actually had a meeting with our MPP on Friday in Pickering, and so I popped into a restaurant to grab something. It was around lunchtime. Four guys were there, and they're talking away, and they're like, they were having their lunch, and they're talking about Caravana. They were getting ready for Caravana, da-da-da-da, and one guy says, "So what time are you going down?" He says, "Man, I don't know, because I have to ask my woman." And he goes, "Ask your woman. Well, you're going to bring sand to the sea?" So I went, you know me, I can't mind my business sometimes. I went, "Excuse me, what is sand to the sea?" He goes, "You never heard that?" I said, "Never." He goes, "Sand to the sea. It means there's going to be a lot of women down there. You can't be bringing sand." I said, "Oh, so you're going to leave your wife at home to go put your toe in all the sand down there?" He says, Yes, ma'am. I said, well, I hope when you get all that sand between your toes, you have a house to go home to and wash it off. His friend goes, that's a good one. Then I told him I was a pastor. To which he said, give God thanks for me. I do hope he comes so I can love on him more. I prefer honesty, though. Folks, honor your word, honor your commitments. We need to guard ourselves against the things that are causing society to be destroyed. We are so entrenched in doing what we want, when we want, how we want, that we just say whatever comes to our mind and we give no consideration of consequences. I was going to share one here on integrity. I'm going to have to skip through the second one. I'm going to skip faster, Daniel. Integrity must guard against insecurity. I'll tell you the story quickly, Judges chapter 11. There was a man named Jephthah. He was the son of a prostitute. His mother was a prostitute, and she had many other children. The other kids didn't want him around, so they kicked him out. So he went and he became a part of a rebel army. The rebel army became so powerful that Israel hired them to go and fight this battle. And Jephthah, wanting to, because you see, when you're insecure, you make promises that you can't fulfill. Jephthah was so insecure about being the son of a prostitute and being kicked out of his community that he says, he made a vow to the Lord. He says, if you give me victory over the Ammonites, I'll give to the Lord whatever comes out of my house to meet me when I return in triumph. I'll sacrifice it as a burnt offering. Telling you this story quickly, because here's the thing. When you're rash with your words, you never consider what you're saying. So he made this declaration, and trouble followed it. Now, when he asked God for victory over the Ammonites, God wasn't giving victory because of the promise he made or because of the rash commitment. God was giving victory because the Ammonites were going to be whooped by God. It was God's plan for the Ammonites not to defeat Israel. And he can, God, if you get what? Me. Sometimes it's me. If you give it to me, God, then this will happen. And so the first thing that came out of the house was his daughter. And that cost, when God puts something in the Bible, is to tell us there's consequences sometimes to our family and our generations. We sometimes will go, oh God, if you don't do this for me, I'll die. Are you ready? Are you really ready? You remember Sanford and Son? Okay, younger people, you have to go. Some of these old movies, it's an old one. You got to tell him about it. See, you got to go online. I saw you poking Dad. You got to go online and watch Sanford. Whenever he couldn't get his way, he'd go, what was her name? Esther? Oh, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, it's the big one. I'm having a heart attack. It's a big one. And he never died. I always say to folks, don't, especially great-grandparents and grandparents, don't threaten your kids about, I'm going to die. Really? You don't want to go anywhere. Anyone who declares they want to die ain't going nowhere. Sorry, online, it's truth. But we make these rash statements, and he made one, and it's in the Word to remind us, be careful with our words. Be careful with our words. 2 Corinthians 4:2. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. It takes fearlessness to keep your word. It's better that you think through what you're saying and state what you can live with and do what is right than just make statements to make yourself look good. Jephthah made a statement so that the men around him would see him as the big guy who won the battle. But when he won the battle, the cost was too much. Be careful what you do, because when you go in too deep, you end up taking a lot of people with you. And there's some people, your family, suffering the consequences of your rashness or your pride or you're trying to appease others or trying to look good before others. Be yourself. If it's one thing I'll preach over and over to the church, be real with yourself. You do you better than anybody could do you. Don't do someone someone else because you can't do them as well as they could do themselves. Just be you. And if you are yourself, you're going to do what is right for you. You're going to walk with pride. You're going to lift up your head. You're going to square your shoulder. It doesn't matter what your socioeconomic level is. Yeah, there's some with millions and there's some with none. But if you know who your God is, even down at the bottom, you still have more strength and more power than the one who thinks they have money. Mammon is not a God. Mammon is a destroyer. God is God, and he's able to provide, help, heal, and deliver. Amen. Takes fearlessness to keep your word. Three Hebrew boys in Daniel 3:15. The society said, you better bow like we're bowing. Young people, this one's for you. You better do what we're doing because everybody's doing it. Three Hebrew boys said, if everybody's doing it, they can keep doing it. But we make up everybody, so we ain't doing it. That means, let me just clarify this. Young people, when anyone says everyone's doing it, they're lying. Until you're doing it, everyone's not doing it. So you defy the whole odds by just not doing it. In fact, actually have the attitude that, okay, since everyone's doing it, I surely can't do it so I could mess up everyone. Three Hebrew boys said, we don't care how many are bowed. You know what? When Israel was invaded, it took all the young men, it said. But only three of them said, we shall not bow. If we go in the fire and we burn, but we will not bow. You need to know that God will be in the fire with you. And when you go in that fire, young people, if you will honor God's word and honor your word to God, he will make the fire come around you, but never burn you. Young people, listen to me. We have proven this over and over again. The fire will surge around you, but you keep on walking. How many of them? Mature people, you've been in fire before. You're like, God, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this one. But haven't the Lord your God showed up in the midst of your trial and your fiery situation and taken you through? Stick to your word, because when you compromise, you leave yourself in the fire to be burned. Young men, who do you respond to when crisis hits? And do you keep your word in the midst of all crisis? Young women, who are you listening to and following in these secular days? Because it takes faith to keep your word. Daniel was in the lion's den. Daniel said, I'm not going to bow. Young people, this is a message for you too. I won't bow. I'm keeping my word. I'm a child of God. You know what? Society's making you feel like it's the wrong thing. You're still a Christian. You're still doing the church thing. You're still into that. You need to go, I made a commitment that I'm going to serve God. And you keep on serving the Lord. Daniel, the king says, I'm going to throw you in the lion's den if you don't bow. And Daniel says, well, lion's den, I got to go. I love this story so much. You know why? It wasn't the other people who lied on them and tried to destroy them that showed up at the mouth of the cave. It was the king himself. The king's like, Daniel, are you in there? In fact, you can read it, folks. It's in Daniel 6:15. Here's what the king says. Daniel, did your God rescue you? Because when you live with integrity, people know who you are. They may put you in the lion's den, but they know your God will take you out. The king's like, Daniel, are you in there? Why are you asking? Because you know your God, his God's going to do it. Your friends need to know your God's going to take care of you, even when you've got to go into the pits. So young men and young women, I appeal to you today. Many Christians are now using the language of today's culture and they're ignoring the word of God. They use the language. I'm hearing more in the kingdom. I'm hearing more secular language. Oh, this is it. And I don't even want to throw them out there. You know the culture today has a language. And I'm hearing that language in the kingdom. We have a higher language. It's a language of love. It's a language of peace. It's a language of hope. It's a language of integrity. It's not a language of everything is making everybody fall apart. It's a language of even in the fire, God is with me. In the den, in the pit of hell, God is with me. Honor your word. It takes faith to keep your word. You know what I love? I love that so many people love me because I keep my word at all costs. I love that so many people hate me because I keep my word at all costs. You gotta learn to love when they love you and love when they hate you if you're keeping your word. I don't mind if you fight me, curse me, spit on me, as long as I could stand before God and say, but I kept my word. God will take care of it. So let's close this morning. Be honorable at all costs. It takes humility to honor your word. It takes faith to honor your word. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but the Lord forgave him. And God requires that you keep your word to him always, so your blessing will be multiplied. You know what he said to Solomon in 1 Kings 9? The Lord responded to Solomon, as for you, if you follow me with integrity and godliness, I will give you all the kingdom of heaven. Integrity and godliness. See where it twins? Did you just hear that? What does integrity twin with? Talk to me. What is integrity twinned with? Online. Integrity and godliness. They're twins. So if I don't have integrity, I don't have godliness. And integrity comes not by what I say, but by what I do. Honor your word. Do everything with integrity. Father, a simple word to the hearts of your people. Lord, there are many who've made a commitment to you and they're vacillating in their hearts, questioning you rather than questioning the vials of the enemy and the wickedness of humanity. But God, I pray today that many would stand up and say, I'm going to honor my word. I've been slipping, I've been sliding, I've been just doubting. But my word is, God, you're my savior, my healer, my friend, my defender. You're the salvation that has taken me from the pit of hell. So I'm going to honor my word to you at all costs. For some, God, the cost is what they weigh before the consequences. But today we declare, God, the consequences of not honoring our word is destructive. And the consequences of honoring our word is life-giving. So teach us, Lord, to number our days aright and to honor your word and to honor our word to others. Please, Lord, help us to follow with integrity and godliness, that our relationship with you will be right. I pray this for online. I pray this for in-house. I pray this for every person hearing this message. Our word is our bond. We want to seal up our bond today. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.